This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad al-Nabiyyul Ummi. وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن اهتدى بهديه وانتهج نهجه إلى يوم الدين ترى كان عن محجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك ثم أما بعد أسعد الله أوقاتكم ونور قلوبكم بمعاني الإيمان والإسلام والإحسان وزادكم تقى ومعرفة بالله تعالى وبارك لكم في هذه الأيام المباركة هذه الأعشر الأخيرة من شهر رمضان جعله الله لنا ولكم لنا ولكم يعني تقربا ومعرفة بالله تعالى إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه وأما بعد بارك الله فيكم الحمد لله. We are into the last 10 days of Ramadan, the home stretch as it were. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring these days a lot of barakah, a lot of blessing, and to bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by our siyam, our fasting, and our qiyam, and our tilawatul Qur'an, and our recitation of the Qur'an, and by the fadl Allah, and by the virtue and blessing and bounty, and from the khazain al-Rahman, alati la tanfad, from the stores of the Rahman that never run out. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala avail us of some of that in this blessed month. So we're looking at the 21st juz of the Qur'an, and this encompasses the end of Surah Al-Ankabut, all of Surah Al-Rum, all of Surah Al-Luqman, all of Surah Al-Sajda, and part of Surah Al-Ahzab. So as we get into the last 10 juz, we will find that we're reaching more of Qisar al-Suwar, the shorter surahs, and that's generally the case. As we progress, the surahs get shorter incrementally, until we get to the last three juz, which are shorter than the rest of the Qur'an, the surahs therein. So we will look at Surah Al-Rum, this session, inshallah, from the beginning of the surah. And Surah Al-Rum, roughly translated as the Romans. However, it's referring to the Byzantines. And at the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you could think that there were kind of two major superpowers. So you had the Persian Empire to the east, and the head of the Persian Empire was called Kisra. That was just the title accorded to the head of the Persian Empire. We know that when the Prophet ﷺ was born, that the thousand-year flame of the Zoroastrians of the Persian Empire went out, as according to the Sirah and the Riwayat, the narrations. And we also know that Salman al-Farisi was a son of this Persian Empire, and he had come from there. So this was kind of directly bordering the Arabian Peninsula on the other side of the Strait of Hormuz, as we know it now, and what we call modern-day Iran. And we had to the north the Byzantine Empire, where the seat of power of the Byzantine Empire was Constantinople, back then now known as Istanbul, the capital of or what was the capital of the Ottoman Empire. And these were the two superpowers at the time. The Arabian Peninsula, or the tribes of the Arabian Peninsula, really had sort of no standing at all in terms of these two empires. They were so disinterested in the Arabian Peninsula that they didn't think of even, you know, sending armies there or to conquer it, because there was nothing there for them to take. They didn't have anything that would have been of value to them. So they weren't really thinking about the Muslims or even the Jahili Arabs for centuries before that. And then we see within 25 centuries, a quarter century of the Prophet passing away, we find that Islam spread as far as the Persian Empire and beyond, and also as far as the Byzantine Empire and beyond. But they were competitors at the time. They competed with one another. And so the beginning of the surah is addressing that competition, that rivalry between the Persians and the Byzantines. In Arabic language, they're called Ar-Rum. And Ar-Rum, they say, is one possible opinion is that that was the name of one of their ancestors that go back to the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Here he mentions Hawarum ibn Aysu ibn Ishaq ibn Ibrahim. So having descendant from Bani Israel via Ishaq, and then not Yaqub, not the 12 tribes of Israel, but via another son of Ishaq. Wallahu alam, you know, these things are mentioned in the seer and narrations, but we take them kind of iltimas. Iltimas means we consider them, but it's not something that we have kind of direct or absolute knowledge about. Whatever the case may be, we see here at the beginning of Surah Al-Rum, after A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem, Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Alif Lam Mim, غلبت الروم في أدنى الأرض وهم من بعد غلبهم سيغلبون في بضع سنين لله الأمر من قبل ومن بعد ويومئذ يفرح المؤمنون بنصر الله ينصر من يشاء وهو العزيز الرحيم وعد الله لا يخلف الله وعده ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. So this surah, like Surah Al-Baqarah, like Surah Al-Qaman, starts off with Alif Lam Mim. Wallahu A'lam Bil Murad. Allah knows the true meanings of those letters, Huruf Al-Muqatta'a. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected certain surahs to begin with these particular letters. And perhaps you can think maybe it's an issuance of a challenge, because here there's a very distinct and direct challenge. So the challenge issued to the Qurayshi Arabs was bring something like the Qur'an, and here are the letters that you use. So in Surah Al-Baqarah, for example, there are the verses that say, فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ وَادْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Bring something like it, and وَادْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ, and bring anyone who can help you, even your gods, if you think they can make something like the Qur'an. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَنْ تَفْعَلُوا. Right, and you will not be, and you're not able to, and you will not be able to, right? So here, Alif Lam Mim, we know that the Quran is miraculous from various angles. One of them, obviously, is what we call a nazm, which is Abdul Qahir al-Jurjani, the great grammarian and linguist and scholar of the language and scholar of the Quran. He said the manner by which the Quran has been revealed to us and the Arabic words are organized, this is something that the Arabs could not bring forth similar to. So that challenge was issued in Surah Al-Baqarah. Is there something similar here in Surah Ar-Rum? And you can make an argument, yes, though not in the form of nazm only, in the way that the Quran is organized, but also, as we will see in these following verses. So, Alif Lam Mim, غُلِبَتْ الرُّوم. The Byzantines or the Romans have been defeated. And it said that this happened during the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ. There was a battle between the Byzantine army and the Persian army, and the Persian army defeated the Byzantine army. Where? Fi adna al-ard. Adna al-ard. Adna al-ard means in the lower or the closest part of the ard. So one interpretation is that this happened at the edge of the Arabian Peninsula. So somewhere between northern Arabian Peninsula and the beginning of Arad al-Sham. So what would be considered modern-day Jordan, all the way towards the north of the Arabian Peninsula, and towards the east, where the Persian Empire meets, which would be modern-day Iraq, perhaps somewhere in that area. في أدنى الأرض وهم من بعد غلبهم, and they, after their defeat, سيغلبون, they will defeat them. How long after? في بضع سنين. So this بضع بالباء والضاد والعين, they said between 3 to 9. So less than a decade later. لِلَّهِ الْأَمْرُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَمِنْ بَعْدُ. For the matters for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يعني من قبلُ, من قبل ماذا؟ من قبل هذا, before all of this, وَمِنْ بَعْدُ, and after all of this. So the matter is always with Allah, the beginning and the end in the middle. وَيَوْمَئِذٍ يَفْرَحُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. وَيَوْمَئِذٍ يَفْرَحُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. And on that day, the believers will rejoice. Why would the believers rejoice? There is a riwayah that says the day that the Byzantines defeated the Persian army was also the day that the Muslims defeated Quraysh in the Battle of Badr, which was the 17th of Ramadan, the second year of the Hijrah. That's a riwayah. Another riwayah is that it happened during the day of the Sulh of Al-Hudaybiyah. So the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, which has also been described by the Quran in Surah Al-Fath, إِنَّ فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا. So this Fath al-Mubin, or this great opening or victory, was the day of the Hudaybiyah, when in the succeeding 2.5 years, more people entered into Islam than all of the years before that. So that was a type of Nasr, an opening and Fath for the believers. So that may be that Muwafaqah, right, happening on those two pivotal days in the history of Islam, in the history of the da'wah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a reason. They also cite as a reason that the Byzantines were Ahlul Kitab, so they were Christians, and the Persians were Zoroastrians, worshipped fire. So the people of Ahlul Kitab naturally are closer to Ahlul Islam, the people of Islam, than the people who are worshipping something other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that also may have been a reason. And there's a narration, not in the Sahih, but in one of the narrations mentions that before gambling was made haram by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when these verses were revealed, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu went to some of the Quraysh, and to show that the Quran is haqq, he said, I'm willing to bet you that the people that we ostensibly support, which are the Byzantines, are going to defeat the people that you ostensibly support. Lame Quraysh supported the Zoroastrians, the Byzantine, the Sassanid Empire, that this will happen within a number of years. And he said 3 years. And they took him up on that bet. And then when he came back to the Prophet ﷺ, he said, increase the bet and increase the number of years. Because al-bid'ah could be 3 to 9. So he increased the number of years, and he also increased the value of the bet. And then other people of Quraysh came in. And then when Abu Bakr as-Siddiq went to collect, he collected, and then he goes back to the Prophet ﷺ, and he said, I have this, what should I do with it? He said, tasaddaq biha, you know, give it in charity. And this is before a tahrim, before that gambling was made haram by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu a'lam. وَيَوْمَ إِذٍ يَفْرَحُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ بِنَصْرِ اللَّهِ يعني يَفْرَحُونَ بِنَصْرِ اللَّهِ. They will be happy with the victory that Allah gives of haqq over batil. يَنْصُرُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ يَنْصُرُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah gives victory to whom He pleases. And here this بِنَصْرِ اللَّهِ could mean that specific incident. And as we know, generally speaking, the Qur'an بِعُمُومِ اللَّفْظِ وَلَيْسَ بِخُصُوصِ السَّبَبِ, not just as necessary the circumstances of this particular revelation, as things were happening on the ground in Ard al-Hijaz or Aradi al-Wahi, Mecca and Medina, where the Wahi was taking place, but also generally speaking from then on and into the future. So always the believers will be rejoicing bi nasrillah, and any nasr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that comes with the proper conditions being fulfilled is a nasr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a victory from Allah. Yansuru man yasha', He gives victory to whom He pleases. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ يعني ذو عِزَّةٍ وَهُوَ ذو رَحْمَةٍ. So Al-Aziz is the one who can do anything that he wants, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing can overwhelm him or push back. وَالرَّحِيمُ. And at the same time, He's merciful. So you can think here, Aziz عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رَحِيمُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. يعني none of the disbelievers can push Him back from His will. And He is also merciful upon the believers when He gives them these victories. وَعْدَ اللَّهُ. This is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا يُخْلِفُ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ. Allah does not go back on His promise. He always fulfills His promise. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But most people don't know or are unaware. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ أَوَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّهِمْ لَكَافِرُونَ أَوَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيَنْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ كَانُوا أَشَدَّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةً وَأَثَارُوا الْأَرْضَ وَعَمَرُوهَا أَكْثَرَ مِمَّا عَمَرُوهَا وَجَاءَتْهُمْ رُسُلُهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ فَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَظْلِمَهُمْ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. And as we see often in the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, here the miraculous portion, by the way, incidentally, is as the Qur'an has, just by virtue of the way that it's revealed and the Arabic language and al-bayan and the elucidation of meanings, وتحمل الأوجه, that a single verse can have more than a single meaning and have many meanings, and all of those aspects of the inimitability or the ajaz of the Quran. Also, it has, as the Prophet ﷺ said, فيه نبأ ما قبلكم وخبر ما بعدكم. نبأ ما قبلكم, it has the stories of those who came before you, and we saw that many, many times. So the story of Musa عليه السلام, right, when we read earlier that وما كنت بجانب الغربي, the Prophet ﷺ was not on the west side of Tur, of when Musa عليه السلام, his prophethood was confirmed, but it's as if he was there. يعني Allah سبحانه وتعالى استحضره, he made him as if he was present, because Allah سبحانه وتعالى revealed to him how that actually happened, and it was revealed in the Quran. So that's نبأ ما قبلكم وخبر ما بعدكم. خبر ما بعدكم is the things of that are yet to come after you. And here is a clear example of that here in Surah Al-Rum. سيغلبون في بضع سنين. They will defeat them in a matter of 3 to 9 years, less than a decade after. And the matter was exactly as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it here. وعد الله لا يخلف الله وعدا. This is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. So then the moral lesson comes. So now that you know this, and this is speaking to the Quraysh, and have seen this clearly, what is your excuse? Well, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains some of it. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَا لَحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. They know the ظاهر of the حَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. They know the outward aspects of the life of the dunya. وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. But as for the akhirah, they are in a complete total of state of lapse or lack of understanding when it comes to the akhirah. So the question then becomes, what is ظاهر حياة الدنيا? What is the outward aspect of حياة الدنيا? And there's several meanings about it. One of them is they only know that which they can perceive with their senses. ما يدرك بالحواس, which kind of is fits for today's paradigm. Because most of knowledge today, or literally all of knowledge, is generally attributed to those things that can be sensed by sensory instruments, which entail, obviously, the five senses. So something that you can see, you can hear, you can observe, then this is called knowledge. And then something that is of the unseen realm, that can't be seen, that can't be heard, by at least by human senses, then is considered to be something else. And they call it faith, they call it premonition, they call it suspicion, they call it superstition, they call it a million other things, but they won't call it knowledge. But for us, as a believers, inshallah, this is called knowledge. So the dhahir of the hayat al-dunya is reducing this kind of reductionist approach, reducing knowledge to only those things that can be perceived. That's one possible meaning. Another possible meaning is knowing only masalih al-dunya, which is also true. So the masalih, which means how to do things and manage things and even cultivate things that are very specific only to this life, that don't have a bearing or repercussion on the next life. That's also ظاهراً من الحياة الدنيا. And also, finally, ظاهراً من الحياة الدنيا doesn't encompass the آخرة. وهم عن الآخرة هم غافلون. So anything that has a repercussion or a bearing on the next life, they are unaware of it. So things that about the balance of things, the balance between peoples, not sowing corruption, even in the pursuit of islah al-dunya, right? In the pursuit of cultivating the earth and its resources, but at the same time, not disturbing it to the degree that it's ruined for future generations or that it's ruined or corrupted for other people. In other words, to serve one particular special interest group at the detriment of another. And that's not from the akhirah. The akhirah means there's balance. The akhirah means that you're putting everything in its proper place, in its perspective, what's called al-hikmah. And tatasarraf bil-hikmah, with wisdom. هم عن الآخرة هم غافلون. Right? And the dhamir is repeated here for emphasis, the kalimat hum. وهم عن الآخرة هم. They are هم غافلون. They are in a state of lapse. أولم يتفكروا في أنفسهم. Do they not think within themselves? So do they not think within themselves also is open to interpretation. One interpretation is do they not consider contemplation? Do they not use their faculties that they have, their fu'ad, their spiritual hearts, their discerning hearts, in order to consider all of the signs around them? And another meaning is that you yourself are a sign. أَوَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. They are a sign. وَفِي الْأَرْضِ آيَاتٌ لِلْمُوقِنِينَ وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Surah Al-Dhariyat. And in the terrestrial realm, there are signs for you to consider. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ. And within yourselves. So the signs within yourselves, you know, as is above is below. So your body as a system and as a working organism is very similar to the universe. Right? تَحْسَبُ نَفْسَكَ جَوْمٍ صَغِيرٌ وَفِيكَ انْتَوَى الْعَالَمُ. Sayyidina Ali used to say, you think you are this small, insignificant thing, but within you, the whole world, the whole universe has been encompassed. So you're a microcosm, that's a macrocosm. And though some ulama have understood it the opposite. All of this is microcosm, and you're the macrocosm. You're the big world. أنت العالم الكبير وهذا العالم الصغير is another way to look at it. So do they not consider this? Do they not ponder? Do they not contemplate? Similar verse, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ. Do they not consider, make tadabbur, get to the profound meanings of the Qur'an? ثم قال سبحانه وتعالى ما خلق الله السماوات والأرض وما بينهما إلا بالحق وأجل مسمى. He did not create, Allah did not create the samawati, this is the heavens and the earth, وما بينهما, and that which is in between them, إلا بالحق, except by the حق, except by the truth, except by what is real, except what is unwavering and unchanging in its, and immutable in its definition. وَأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى وَأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى and a allotted time. أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. It has an expiry date, sell-by date, end of product date. Everything does. Everything is in a state of loss. Everything is going towards الفناء. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَان. Right? As Surah Al-Rahman says, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَان. Everyone upon it is in the state of diminishment or annihilation. In other words, you're already there. You're not some future event. You're already in that state because the moment that you came into existence, you're already going out of existence. And that's where everything is going. Do they not see that? مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. Because we see everything else has an أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. Everything else has an expiry date, and we see this cycle of life, of existence, or non-existence, then existence, then non-existence, right? من العدم إلى الوجود إلى العدم إلى الوجود. It's a constant thing, it's a cyclical thing. Do they not see that? وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّهِمْ لَكَافِرُونَ. And certainly, or veritably, many of the people concerning the liqa, the meeting with their Lord, يعني يوم القيامة أو في الآخرة, لكافرون. They don't believe in it. They disbelieve in it. أولم, or did they not look, يسيروا في الأرض, did they not travel the earth, فينظروا كيف كان عاقبة الذين من قبلهم. Did they not see the outcome, the عاقبة, of those before them? Right? We are certain there are people who lived before us. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. And we are just as certain that people who lived centuries ago, even decades ago, have moved on. And they're not here anymore. This is a certainty. So this is also something for the atibar. Everybody has an expiry date. Everybody, no one lives forever. You're all leaving eventually. So if that's the case, أَوَلَمْ يَسِيرُ. Do they not see? Did they not travel or did they not contemplate? فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيَنْظُرُ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. And not only that, كَانُوا أَشَدَّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةً. They were stronger than them. Who can repeat what the pharaonic civilization did? And what they built and what they accomplished. No one can. كانوا أشد منهم قوة وأثاروا الأرض يعني عمروا الأرض. You know, they cultivated the land and they reaped the benefits of it. وعمروها, they built it. أكثر مما عمروها, more than what the Quraysh did. Quraysh, what they had was not a civilization as compared to what the Byzantines had or what the Sassanids had or what the Chinese had. Nothing close to that. وَجَاءَتْهُمْ رُسُلُهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ. And their messengers came with them with the clear signs, like Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, Sayyidina Isa, Sayyidina Dawood, Sayyidina Sulaiman, Mulk Sulaiman. فَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَظْلِمَهُمْ. So Allah is not the one who's going to wrong them. وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. But they wrong themselves. ثم كان عاقبة الذين أساءوا السوء أن كذبوا بآيات الله وكانوا بها يستهزئون. الله يبدأ الخلق ثم يعيده ثم إليه ترجعون. ثم كان عاقبة الذين أساءوا السوء. Then it was the outcome of those أساءوا. As-su'a. As-su'a means al-aswa. So it's the feminine form of a superlative, the worst. So asa'u, al-aswa'a, aw as-su'a, they performed the worst, or they were the worst with their relationship, obviously, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? And kadhabu bi-ayati Allah. Right? Like Naqat Salih, they killed the camel of Salih. It was a test for them, a fitna tribulation. Asa'u su'a, and those who tried to crucify Isa alayhi salam and Pharaoh, and his minions, and Haman, asa'u su'a, all of them, and the people of the Tufan, of the flood of Noah, asa'u su'a, and kathabu bi ayati Allah, that they disbelieved in the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa kanu biha yastahzi'oon, and on top of that, kanu biha yastahzi'oon, right? They would make fun and ridicule, like the people of Noah, every time they walk by him and he's building the ark, yaskharu minhu, right? They ridiculed him. يستهزئون. الله يبدأ الخلق ثم يعيد ثم إليه ترجعون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يبدأ الخلق. He initiates the خلق. Right? He created everything. Not just initiates, but he maintains it. ثم يعيده. So here, بدأ والإعادة, putting in terms that the Quraysh can understand. If he is the one who began it and puts it into motion and created it, he is also the one, يُعِيدُهُ. So if he takes it out of creation, then he can also put it back into creation. In other words, back into existence. ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ وَالْإِعَادَ هُنَا الْقِيَامَةِ الْبَعْثِ. So the resurrection, ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. Then you return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the beginning of Surah Ar-Rum. And I just want to cover something else briefly. From Surah Luqman. So Surah Luqman is named after Luqman, sometimes referred to as Luqman al-Hakim, Luqman the Wise. And the ulama have different opinions about whether he actually was a prophet or not, but in the hadith, that's Ibn Asakir, which is not Bukhari or Muslim, but it's a hadith nonetheless. قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يكن لقمان نبيا ولكن كان عبدا حسن اليقين أحب الله فأحبها فمن عليه بالحكمة. That Luqman was not a prophet, but he was a servant and had strong yaqeen, strong certainty in Allah. Allah loved him, فأحبه. So Allah loves him, so you love him too. فَمَنَّ عَلَيْهِ بِالْحِكْمَةِ. And so he also blessed him with wisdom, with hikmah, Surah Luqman. And here there's a hiwar, there's a conversation that Luqman alayhi salam has with his son, who at the time was not a believer. And via this hiwar, or via this wasiyya, this admonition he gives him, he becomes a believer. So contrast that with the situation that happened with Nuh alayhi salam and his son. يا بني أركب معنا قال سآوي إلى جبل يعصمني من الماء قال لا عصم له من أمر الله. Told him, come with us on the safina. He said, I will find a mountain to protect me. And لا عصم له من أمر الله. There's no way to be protected from the command of Allah on this particular day. But here with Luqman al-Hakim, who is not of the stature of Nuh عليه السلام, but nonetheless Allah سبحانه وتعالى يختص برحمته من يشاء. He dispenses and distributes the rahmah as he pleases. So this surah also starts off with Alif Lam Mim. Tilka ayatul kitab al-hakim. These are the verses of the kitab al-hakim. And that's why there's kind of a mujanasa here, because it's also Luqman is called Luqman al-hakim. So al-kitab al-hakim, the wise book. And here we're talking about the wise man of Luqman. Hudan wa rahmatan lil muhsinin. Guidance and rahmah for the muhsinin. Right? There's a, as we said earlier, there's a sir when it says lil muttaqin or says lil muhsinin, so forth. هُدًا وَرَحْمَةً لِلْمُحْسِنِينَ, to those who practice ihsan. And maybe it was the ihsan of Luqman ila ibnihi, the ihsan that he practiced with his son, that led him eventually to become a believer, and his patience with him. الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَى هُدًى مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Similar to Surah Al-Baqarah, that's why sometimes the Qurra, they can trip up here. الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ, the ones who establish the prayer, وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ, and pay the zakah, وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ, and in the akhirah they have complete certainty. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَى هُدًى مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ, they are in complete guidance from their lords, from their Lord, وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, and they are the successful ones. So I want to skip to Luqman, which is ayah 13. وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِابْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ يَا بُنِيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ أَنْ اشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرُ. So here, with قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِابْنِهِ, and Luqman said to his son, وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ, يَعِظُهُ, he is having a conversation with him. يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ, do not associate partners with Allah. إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ, shirk is a great type of ظلم, putting things, and technically ظلم means wrongdoing, but هو يقابل الحكمة. So ظلم is kind of the flip side or the opposite of wisdom. Wisdom they define as putting things in the proper place. ظلم is not putting things in the proper place. And تسند الأمور إلى غير مواضيعها أو غير أهلها, you put it in the wrong place. So associating a partner with Allah is definitely the wrong place. It's a ظلم عظيم. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ, now Allah comes back and speaks. This is not necessarily from, an اعتراض from Allah, not from Luqman to his son. وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ وَهْنًا عَلَى وَهْنٍ, she carried him with difficulty upon difficulty. وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ, right, and the fisal or الفطام, right, when they grow out of their infancy is 2 years, and that's where we get that the suckling time for tahrim is 2 years. Ameen. أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرِ, so that you can be grateful to Allah. أَشْكُرْ لِي, Allah speaking in the first person. وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ, and to your parents, because they're the sabab, they're the reason you're here. Allah chose them for you. إِلَيَّ الْمَصِيرِ. وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَى أَنْ تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا وَاتَّبَعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيَّ ثُمَّ إِلَيَّ مَرْجِعُكُمْ فَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. This is also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُشْرِكْ بِي, if they try to enforce upon you that you associate partners with me, مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ, that which you do not know to be true, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا, then do not follow them in this. وَصَاحِبْهُمَّ فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا, but even if they try to do that, this does not negate the صُحْبَة, this does not negate filial piety between you and your parents. And this is the حُكْمَ of Islam also, not just the time of Sayyidina Luqman al-Hakim, but also after Sayyidina Luqman. So even in our times, if you have parents who are not Muslim or not practicing Muslims or any of the sort, you don't follow them in those things that are against Islam, but at the same time, this does not negate your obligation towards them in terms of kindness and rahmah and mercy. وَاتَّبَعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ, right? But you follow the way of those who keep returning back to me. مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ ثُمَّ إِلَيَّ مَرْجِعُكُمْ, then you all return to me. فَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ, and then all things will be settled. I will tell you of the things of that you were doing. This is the hisab before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reckoning. يَا بُنَيَّ إِنَّهَا إِنْ تَكُ مِثْقَالُ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ فَتَكُنْ فِي سَخْرَةٍ أَوْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ. يَا بُنَيَّ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَانْهَ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. وَلَا تُصَعِّرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. وَقُصِدْ فِي مَشْيِكَ وَاغْضُضْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ. So that's the wasiyah of Luqman to his son, which continues, Ya bunayya, my son, إن تكو مثقال حبة في من خردل أو فتكون في صخرة أو في السماوات. So the مثقال الحبة من خردل. خردل is like the size of like a seed, something so small you can't even see. مثقال حبة, so a part of that. فتكون في صخرة, and even if it's in a rock, inside a rock or a hollow rock. أو في السماوات, or in the heavens. أو في الأرض, on the earth. يأتي بها الله. What does he mean, يأتي بها الله? Allah will bring it forth on the reckoning. In other words, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. Similar meaning. Anything, any iota worth, any amma's worth of good that you do will be brought forth. And conversely, any iota worth of bad is all will be brought forth. Nothing will escape, obviously, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the possible reckoning of it on the Day of Judgment. It's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whether He forgives you. وَيَسْتُرْ عَلَيْكَ. يَسْتُرْ عَلَيْكَ means He covers and conceals, or He brings it forth for everyone to see. But Allah reminds us at the end, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ. So He is khabir, nothing escapes Him, He knows everything, but He's also latif. So نَسْأَلُ بِلُطْفِهِ أَلَّا يُعَذِّبْنَا وَأَلَّا يَفْضَحْنَا. Not to humiliate us or to punish us for our lapses. يَا بُنَيَّ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ. My son, establish the prayer. وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and enjoin to good. وَانْهَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, and forbid the bad. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ, and be patient with the things that happen to you. So that's just as paramount as establishing the prayer, the ritual devotions. وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَانْهَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Those are the communal obligations. And then we have the obligation of personal fortitude. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ. تَكُنْ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. That requires tazkiyah, that requires spiritual purification, that's something that's internal, not external. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. This is from عَزْمُ الْأُمُورِ. This is from the matters of high resolve. وَلَا تُصَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ. You know, this is like a metaphor. وَلَا تُصَعِرْ خَدَّكَ, يعني تولي خَدَّكَ. You know, like looking at someone like with belittlement. You know, like ازدراء. وَلَا تُصَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ. Don't be haughty and arrogant with people. وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحَا. Right, also in Surah Isra, this was mentioned. And don't walk haughtily or arrogantly. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. المختال من الخيلاء, which is pride. Don't walk pridefully. فخور. Right, haughtily, arrogantly. This is literal and also meaningful. The literal walk and also the way you carry yourself internally. Don't be prideful or arrogant over anybody. وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشْيِكْ. Be economical, just in the way that you walk. And although you can also understand it in the way that you carry yourself. Be just and economical in the way that you carry yourself. Be a humble servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not a haughty, prideful, arrogant servant of Allah. وَغْضُدْ مِنْ صَوْتِكْ. Right? وَغْضُدْ مِنْ صَوْتِكْ. Same word as غَضْدِ الْبَصَرِ, which is to lower your voice. وَغْضُدْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ. For the worst of voices, the worst of sounds, is the sound of the donkey. And in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, the sound of the donkey is when the donkey sees the devil. He makes that sound, the braying of the donkey. So here, it's a simile, a metaphor. Don't be haughty or prideful or unduly vociferous in the way that you speak. Only speak in the manner that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the manner that is commensurate with the situation. Because other than that, then you would be amongst al-mukhtal wal-fakhur. Going back to the previous verse, you'd be like someone who's يَمْشِي بِالْخُيَلَاء, walks pridefully and conceitfully. And that was the wasiyah and the advice and the maw'idha from Sayyidina Luqman to his son, alayhi salam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of the humble people and not of the prideful people, and that we walk, as mentioned in another verse, يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا. We walk softly upon the earth, softly in the way that we treat people and in our compassion, our mercy to them, that we be a people of this, that we reflect properly the meanings of this amazing and glorious gift Allah has given to us, the gift of the Quran, the gift of Islam, the gift of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the gift of Ramadan, the gift of these blessed days and blessed nights that we're in, many, many ataya, many, many gifts and many, many mawahib Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent our way. May we be properly grateful by using them in the right way and availing ourselves of the nafahat and the nasamat and the rahamat that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give to us. وَهُوَ لِيُّ ذَلِكُ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.